He is. Amen. Amen. What a great gift and talent. Thank you, Mike. Thank you so much. God bless you, buddy. Bless you. The title of the sermon this morning is The Resurrection of the King. In our scripture text, you'll see, is found in Luke chapter 24. We'll read verses 5 through 7. We have it on the PowerPoint overhead for you as well. Then as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying, 'The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again.'" You look back at the life of Jesus, and in the few days of his life, before this incredible event, before the resurrection, there was little evidence that Jesus was a king or a conqueror. He came from a place of prayer where men rushed up to him and arrested him. He was taken to a midnight court of evil men. They cursed him. They spat upon him. They beat him. They pressed a crown of thorns on his brow. They mocked him and ridiculed and belittled him. The streets, as he walked down the streets, the people there jeered him. They called him many evil names and even threw rocks at him. Then they took him and they nailed him to an old rugged cross, and he hung there in the air, hanging on that cross for long hours, six long hours, and he bled his life away. The Bible tells us that a follower and a believer by the name of Joseph of Arimathea, in great compassion and generosity, he took the body of Jesus and buried him in a borrowed grave. After living on this earth for 33 and a half years, the Son of God, the Messiah, lay dead in a grave. However, aren't you glad for howevers or but? Amen. On the first day of the week, on Sunday morning, while all the bells in heaven were ringing and all the angels in heaven were looking down on the scene, our Savior burst the bonds of death and the grave, and he came forth alive under the power of our Father in heaven. Amen. Amen. And I'll tell you something. Today, he's still conquering. He's still triumphant, because on that day, the world witnessed the resurrection of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and the Son of God. And that day is coming. It's coming when the entire world will proclaim that Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and every knee will bow to Jesus. Every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God. So let us take a moment this morning and review the resurrection story. It begins with the announcement of his resurrection. You look at the Bible, the story begins with a small group of women. One was probably his mother, Mary. Others had been related to him, and others he had lifted up to a new life by his teaching and by faith in him. But all of them felt the blessings of his life, and others felt that blessing that he had lifted to a new life and had loved, and they loved him for what he had done for them. Those women loved our Lord and Savior. Well, during his public ministry, in fact, the Bible records that as he traveled from place to place with his disciples, that there was often a small group of women that followed him, and they ministered to him and to his disciples. When he came to the cross that day, those ladies were standing by that cross. Now he rises from the dead, and we see this same group of ladies again. And it's true that women were the last at the cross, and women were the first at the tomb. And from my way of thinking, that's the way it should have been. When he came into this world, you think about that, the time that Jesus came into this world. When he came into this world, women were nothing more than slaves and property. That's true. But he lifted women up. He lifted them up to a new level as human beings, more than just slaves and property. And thank God, oh, thank God for the wonderful influence of Christian women. I've heard men make comments like this. My mother was a great Christian, and the memory of my mother has kept my heart focused on Jesus. I think back in my life, my own mother, through years of incredible physical and emotional abuse by my father, she was a great example to me. She always had my sisters and I in church. We were there Sunday morning for Sunday school, Sunday morning worship, Sunday night church, Wednesday night church, vacation Bible school, evangelist, whatever it was. If church was open, we were there. And you know, during the darkest nights and most horrific brutality that my mother went through, one thing I remember that was a constant, and that was she was always praying. She was always reaching up to her Savior, Jesus. Yes, indeed. Thank God. Thank God this morning for consecrated Christian women, because through them, we see the salt and light of who Christ wants to be to us in this world. Well, going back to our story, the women in this story, they just couldn't get over the death of Jesus. And some of them decided to go to the tomb and to anoint his body early on Sunday morning. So they secured all the spices and oil, and they must have been thinking as they traveled to the tomb, how in the world are we going to get this heavy stone rolled away so we can have access to the body of Christ to anoint it with the spices? What's going to happen? How are we going to do this? Now, can you just imagine when they arrived to this tomb, that stone had been rolled away according to the Bible. They rushed to that tomb and they realized, they looked inside, and the body of Jesus was not there. Now, initially, I can only imagine the distress and the fear that came over them. Because instantly they had to assume someone has come and taken and stolen the body of our Savior. Perhaps it's one of his enemies. But the Bible says, then they looked up and they saw two angels standing there, one at the head of the grave and one at the foot. And the angel said, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? You're looking for Jesus Christ. He is not here. He is risen." What words, what wonderful words those women heard that Sunday morning when they heard the angels make that declaration. I tell you, there's been a lot of great announcements made to the world, but I humbly believe that there has never been a greater announcement than the announcement the angels made that Sunday morning to those women when he said, "He is risen. He is not here. He's alive." It meant that every claim that Jesus had made was true. It meant that now we have a living Savior. It meant that Satan was defeated. It meant that King Jesus would go marching down through the ages as King of Kings and a mighty conqueror. It meant that one day he would take over as Lord and King of all men and all things on this earth during his millennial reign of Christ. Now, the angel went on to say, "Do you remember what he said? He told you that he would be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified. And on the third day, he would rise again." Then, the Bible says, then they remembered these things. They had to be reminded. Sherry has to help me a lot by reminding me of things. I can't tell how many times she'll say something like, "Well, don't you remember, honey, you said..." Or, "Don't you remember you did?" And suddenly I'll think, "Oh, yes, that's right. Thank you, honey, for reminding me of that. Thank you very much." We forget sometimes, don't we? You think about these ladies in the story. For 3 days, they were heartbroken. They were grieving. They were full of hurt and pain emotionally. They were living in the shadows. For 3 days, their eyes had been swollen with tears and weeping. For 3 days, there had been no hope. All they could think about was Jesus was dead. If they only had remembered. If they had just remembered. about what he had said, that he would rise again. If they had remembered, they would have been rejoicing all that time rather than being sad and brokenhearted. But the reality is, you and I, we forget too. We forget the sweet promises that God has made to us. Life would be so much sweeter and so much finer if we would only remember. The Lord says to us, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Yet sometimes when trouble comes, we feel all alone. The Lord tells us, I will be with you always. Yet there's times that we feel like that no one's with us, that no one cares. The Lord tells us, all things work together for the good of those that love God. Yet we go through seasons where we cry out and we say, why is this happening to me? He says, my grace is sufficient for you. Yet that we feel like sometimes that there's no help coming and that we're just in this situation all alone. Yes, indeed, our lives would be so much sweeter if we would only remember the things that Christ has promised us. If we would only remember the one that conquered death is our daily companion. If we just reach up in faith to him. Because he's there. He's with us. He's with you right now if you're trusted in Jesus. Well, it takes us to our second point this morning, the appearances of Jesus. The Bible tells us that he appeared to Mary Magdalene. Mary Magdalene had been a deep dyed sinner, so to speak. But Christ forgave her and made her over. She loved him greatly for what he did for her. Standing by that empty tomb, she sobbed out her grief and she's crying. The Bible says that she asked the question, they have taken away my Lord. I do not know where they have laid him. Where is my Lord? Then she heard a noise. And looking around, she saw Jesus but didn't recognize him. The Bible says she didn't realize it was Christ. And Jesus looks at Mary and says, why are you weeping? She thought it was the gardener, the Bible tells us. And she said, sir, if you've moved him, tell me where he is and I'll take him away. And the Bible says there was a pause there. Think about it. And Jesus simply said her name. He just said, Mary. And when he said her name, suddenly her heart and her mind and soul realized it was Jesus. And the Bible says she cried out, Master! Oh, Master, that we would cry out today. Oh, that our hearts would cry out to him and say, oh, Master, you're my Master, you're my Savior. I give myself to you. Because he's here with us. Oh, the sweetness and the wonder of her hearing the voice of Jesus. Let me ask you this morning, have you heard it? Have you heard that voice speaking forgiveness? Have you heard that voice speaking peace and joy and comfort and reassurance to your heart, just as Mary did that day? Well, the Bible tells us not only did he appear to Mary Magdalene, but that he appeared to many over the next 40 days. He appeared to the two disciples as they walked to Emmaus. The Bible says he appeared to his disciples as they were all gathered in a locked room, and he spoke peace and hope to hearts that were broken and full of grief. And the Bible says that later he appeared to them again in that locked room, but this time Thomas was there. And he stood before Thomas and said, reach forth your hand and feel my hand and feel my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believe. You can see it in that image we have overhead. Can you imagine Thomas there touching the side in the hands of Jesus and declaring, oh, it's you, Jesus. You are alive. Next, the Bible tells us that we see him by the sea where he calls the disciples. He said, why don't you try this side of the boat? They threw the nets and they had a massive great catch of fish. Can you imagine the thrill of those disciples in that boat when they realized they were looking at and talking to Jesus, the risen Savior, that he was alive? There were two young ladies that were cousins, and they were being interviewed on a radio program. They both had been swimming in the ocean. One of them was not a good swimmer, And she had been caught in the undertow out in the ocean, and she's being carried further and further out, and she wasn't a good enough swimmer to overtake the pull of that undertow. So she's been carried out to what's going to be her death. But the other girl, the other young cousin of hers, was a strong swimmer. And she saw the plight of her cousin. So she began to swim toward her, and she rescued her, and she brought her back to the shore, saved her life. Well, the master of ceremonies is doing the interview of these girls on the radio show. He asked the one who had been rescued how she felt when her cousin came to save her. This was her answer. She said, "I was out there. I was frightened. I knew death was coming, and I was fighting against the tide. Then I saw my cousin's face. As she came through that foam and those waves and she swam toward me, it was the most beautiful sight I have ever seen." You and I were sinking deep in sin. We were sinking and we were going down to hell, and we cried out for help. Then by faith we saw the face of Jesus. We saw the face of Christ dying on that cross for you and me. And it was the most wonderful sight of our entire life when we realized that Christ had given his life for you and me. Thank God that he gave his life. Thank God that he rose again. Thank God that he is still reaching down to hearts that are in need and touching and saving and delivering and healing, all to them that come to him by faith. Then we examine the ascension of Jesus. The Bible tells us that after 40 days on this earth, that it came time for Jesus to go home. And he took his disciples. He took them, the Bible says, to the Mount of Olives. And he promises them that the power of the Holy Spirit will soon fall upon them if they will just wait in that upper room. And he encourages them to be witnesses for him, just as he encourages you and I today. Amen. And suddenly, the Bible says, suddenly a cloud takes him up heavenward, and the heavens open up and receive him. And while they stood there, two men in white apparel appeared to them and said to them, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven." This same Jesus that ascended into heaven, the Word of God says, he's coming back in the same manner. He is coming back to this earth. He is coming back, and you and I will be with him when he comes back to that Mount of Olives. Because we're going to be raptured, and we're going to be in heaven during the tribulation. And at the end of that tribulation period, Christ literally, physically comes back to this earth, to the Mount of Olives. And he defeats the Antichrist, and he sets up his millennial kingdom, and you and I are with him, and we will be with him forever and forever. Amen, amen. So let me ask this question this morning. Do you love Jesus? Do you love him? I'm not asking if you've joined the church. I'm not asking if you've been baptized. I'm asking, do you really love Jesus? He died in our place, didn't he? He died in our place. He saved us. He blesses us every day. And someday he's going to take us home to heaven. So let me just ask you one more time. Do you love him? Do you appreciate him? If that's true, then we should be doing something about it, shouldn't we? And if he's not your Savior this morning, right now, you can ask him to forgive you of your sins, to come into your heart, to be your personal Savior, and to believe on him as the resurrected Son of God. And by praying and believing that faithful prayer right now, you can be born again. Those are the words that Jesus used. You can come into that right relationship with the Savior. You can have that sweet peace and grace and love and forgiveness and joy in your heart because Jesus will be with you. Oh, what a wonderful thing it is. We reach up in faith to our Savior. There was an entertainer. He was in a small town, and he claimed that he could read a person's character by feeling the bumps up on their head. And one night, he had wanted to do a demonstration for a large crowd, so he called a man that was sitting on the front row. He called him forward to come up to the stage and sit down beside him in a chair right beside the entertainer. Then he ran his hands through the man, all over the man's head, feeling the bumps on his head. And when he got through, he looked at that man and he said, "I'm sorry, but the bumps on your head, they don't tell a very good story. You haven't lived a very good life. You've been a drinking man. You've been an alcoholic. You've been a mess. You've been mean to your wife. You've been mean to your children. I'm sorry to tell you this story, but that's what I read from touching the bumps on your head." And the crowd all laughed. But then that poor man, he stood up and he said, "Sir," he said, "you're right. I've been just exactly what you described. But 2 weeks ago, I met Jesus as my Savior. And 2 weeks ago, everything changed." He said, "It's all different now. All those things that you witnessed by touching my head, they've all been put away. And if you want to see the man that I am today, you must read my heart, not my head." Oh, hallelujah. Jesus changes our hearts. He changes us in such a supernatural, beautiful way. He takes all of the ugly of our past. He takes all the ugly of sins and failures and mistakes that we've made. And by His grace of forgiveness, He makes you and me white as snow, as if we had never sinned. And it's what is in our heart. It's what's in our heart that tells the real story of what Jesus has done for us. Oh, God, help us this morning. God, help everyone in this room to get our hearts right today. Oh, it's so simple. Oh, it just takes that cry of faith and that expression of belief in Jesus. Don't wait. Don't wait. Let Jesus be your friend. Let Him be your Savior right now, today, this morning. Would you please bow your heads for just a moment with every head bowed, every eye closed this morning as the Holy Spirit is ministering in this place. If you're here and you're not certain that heaven would be your home if you were to suddenly leave this earth, and you want to make certain that your life is right before God and trusting in Jesus, you want that peace and that assurance this morning. If that's your need today, if that's your heart's cry, please just lift your hand. I won't embarrass anyone. Just lift your hand and say, "Remember me, Pastor. Pray for me." Anyone here this morning, just lift that hand. Anyone? Yes, I see that. Anyone else this morning? Anyone? Oh, Father, I thank You for a heart that reaches up in faith this morning. I thank You for faith. God, I pray that You just reach down into the heart of this individual. Let them sense and feel Your love and grace and forgiveness. Let them sense and feel Your desire to be with them, to be the best friend they've ever had, to walk with them, to minister to them, to reassure them over and over that their sins are forgiven and their names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life and their home will indeed be heaven. Oh, thank You, Father, for that wonderful miracle of salvation. Thank You, Father, that we can proclaim that today because of Jesus, our risen Savior, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Lord. Amen.